I will speak about, I will talk about again advice. Last time we have seen the power iteration method, which is the general method. Today we will consider the case of elimination two diagonal matrices. You know, this is an important case. We can obtain a matrix of this kind coming from a general Hermitian matrix through Hausdorff transformation, we transform the given matrix into a matrix of this kind. So the general Hermitian case can be led to this apparently particular case, which is not so particular. For this kind of matrices, we can use three approaches. The first, which is based on properties, we will call them two properties. Of the characteristic polynomial of a matrix of this kind, first approach. The second approach will give only a hint of this second approach, which is however very important, since maybe this approach is the most efficient way to compute all eigenvalues and all eigenvectors of a Hermitian two-diagonal matrix. This approach is the divide and conquer. Approach. There exists a third, more general approach, which consists of the use of the QR iterative method. We will see this third approach in more detail next time. So, let us start from these special, very special properties of the characteristic polynomial of Hermitian three-diagonal matrix. Last time we saw that, let us recall the notation. Let us call A, maybe last time we called it T, I don't remember, but this is not important. Principal entries of the index goes from 1 up to n. The beta starts from two. The matrix is Hermitian in the upper triangular part, we put the conjugates. In the lower triangular part, we put beta in the plane form. Hermitian tridiagonal.
Well,
simply by using the Laplace, the well-known Laplace expansion for determinants, we saw last time that if we call E sub I lambda, I write this without a formula, the characteristic polynomial of the leading principal minor of A of order I the following recurrence relation holds, that is, let me use the same indices I or I plus 1 I. Alpha with this is I, this is I minus 1, this is I minus beta with same index, I guess, yes. Absolute value squared by the previous P I minus. This is a simple way to compute all the characteristic polynomials of all these principal minors of these metrics. In particular, the last of these polynomials is the characteristic polynomial of the given matrix of Armstrong-Green. Well, in order to use this recurrence, we may set conventionally P sub 0 identically equal to the constant 1. And accordingly to its definition, P sub 1 is the characteristic polynomial of this minor. So we have simply alpha sub 1 minus 1. Starting from these two polynomials, we can compute the leading polynomials up to the last P sub n. Well, the main fact is what I have called Thun properties. Can be in fact these properties can be summarized in these three conditions. A sequence of n plus 1 in general functions. We will see that these functions have to be derivable. In our case, these functions will be those polynomials is covered at school, it's a German name, sequence is this definition. First point, these functions, we call these functions directly P sub I, so P sub 0, the first function, the first polynomial in our case, does not vanish. Second, if a polynomial function in general of the sequence vanishes for some lambda, if p sub I lambda is zero, then the premise computed in the same lambda and the successive p sub I plus one computed in the same lambda have opposite signs. Here you see I minus one and I minus plus one. So this properties is requested for I bounded by one and n minus 1. That is, I is an intermediate value of the index. This index I can go from 1 to n minus 1. Okay. The third property involves a derivative, that is, if the last function, polynomial in our case, vanishes for some lambda, then we cannot invoke this property because p sub n plus 1 does not exist. A property of this kind must hold for the first derivative of the last polynomial and the previous p sub n minus 1. This is a definition, these three conditions can may seem strange conditions. Their importance is due to the fact that using these three conditions for any sequence, finite sequence of functions, we will see that the sequence has a useful property which will allow us to say something about the zeros of the last function of the sequence. We proceed in this way. First, we check that the sequence formed by the polynomials, the characteristic polynomials of the matrix, of the given matrix, satisfy these properties. In fact, let us make an observation, a useful remark, that will be useful during the proofs of these properties. Remark: if R is irreducible, what does it mean? What does mean irreducible? Irreducible is a property of matrices which can be checked through the graph. Through the graph of the matrix. In this case, the case of Hermitian tridiagonal, saying irreducible, it's the same thing than saying that all the betas must be different from zero. Under this hypothesis, then the eigenvalues must be simple, where simple means multiplicity 1. There are multiple eigenvalues cannot exist. Why? Just remember that the multiplicity of lambda is, by definition, let us call it tau, the dimension of the null space or kernel of A minus lambda by the identity matrix. And by the well-known theorem of linear algebra, this number can be expressed as n minus the rank of the same matrix. But this matrix is tridiagonal, as we know. We have subtracted lambda along the main diagonal. If all the betas are non-zero, we immediately detect a submatrix, a square submatrix of order n minus 1, which is non-singular. Look at it. This is the submatrix obtained by deleting the first column and the last row. Here are all zeros, so we have a lower n minus 1 by n minus 1 square matrix, lower triangular. Along its main diagonal, there are all the betas, which are non-zero. So the determinant of this matrix is non-zero, so its rank is maximum, n minus 1. The whole matrix has rank also n minus 1, because lambda is an eigenvalue. So we have n minus 1. The multiplicity is necessarily 1. There cannot exist multiple eigenvalues of
a Hermitian three diagonal irreducible matrix.
Just remember this. Let us check the three properties. The first two properties are very easy. The third requests a look to the situation in detail. So check properties. The first is simple. Since P sub zero by definition is constant 1. So it is true. The second, what's the second? Second comes from the three terms recurrence. If we let us write again the recurrence with the indices increased by 1, so we would have I plus 1, let us drop lambda, I alpha suppose, let's assume, second property, that for some lambda, this P sub I is zero. We have this polynomial, so by the recurrence, we have E, well, we write again in lambda, is equal to minus this positive, strictly positive number with the sign minus by the values of the previous polynomial. So these two numbers cannot have the same sign, or possibly are both zero. So we can first write that this number, this value, and this value, the two polynomials computed in lambda, their product is less or equal. Is it possible that the sign equal holds? This is not possible. The sign equal cannot hold. Always by the recurrence. Since if we have three contiguous polynomials, all three equal to zero, in this case, we would have two polynomials. The central, the polynomial in the central position, and one of these two polynomials, both equal to zero. By the recurrence, all the other polynomials up to the first polynomial would be zero. But this is not possible since the first polynomial is constant. The sign equal cannot hold. Otherwise, first polynomial in this value, for this value of lambda, would be 0. And this is impossible. Now let's come to the third property, which means a simple scheme. For the sake of clearness and simplicity, let us suppose that n is 4. We discuss more in detail the case of a matrix of order 4. So we have 5 polynomials. Third property. N is 4. We represent along 5 straight lines the behavior of the 5 polynomials. I can write their names here. P sub 0, 1, 2, 3, and 4, when we give suitable values to the argument line. We represent along these straight lines the signs of these polynomials. We know that the first is equal to 1, is constant, so we simply write that for every value of lambda, p sub 0 is positive. We represent this fact in this way. The second polynomial is alpha sub 1 minus lambda. So it vanishes for alpha for lambda equal to alpha sub 1, for one real value of lambda. Assume that this value is in this position and call it lambda sub 1 and sub 1. The real eigenvalue of the first leading principal minor of the matrix. The sign here, the sign is 0 because this is its eigenvalue, and due to the fact that the maximum power of lambda has the sign minus, for lambda less than this value, the polynomial is positive, and for lambda larger than this value, the polynomial is this, the polynomial is negative values. Let us say something about the third polynomial. Third polynomial has degree, here we write in degrees of the polynomials, which are equal to the index. This is a second degree polynomial. For the second property, when p sub 1 vanishes, we have for this value, for the value of lambda sub 1, sub 1, since this is positive, by the second property, this value p sub 2 must be negative. So when one polynomial vanishes, the previous and the next must have opposite signs, positive, negative. This is a second degree polynomial with all real eigenvalues, because the metric is Hermitian. Here is negative. The polynomials goes to infinity here and here, plus infinity. So there must be two zeros for these polynomials, one before and one after this point. We call them lambda 1 sub 1 sub 2, lambda sub 2 sub 2, distinct zeros of this polynomial. And so on, it is easy to see that the sign of this polynomial here is negative, here is positive, and here is positive. The next polynomial here is negative, here is positive. There must be three zeros, which must be located one in this zone, lambda 1, 3, lambda 2, 3, lambda 3, 3. We conclude the last polynomial, which is the characteristic polynomial of the whole matrix. We will have here negative, here positive, here positive negative, always by the second property. So we localize the four eigenvalues of the whole matrix, 1, 2, 3. Well, the scheme is just this. So we see that the eigenvalue of one minor separate the eigenvalues of the successive minor in a kind of pyramid. But we have to prove the third property. So let us consider also the sign behavior of the first derivative of the last polynomial p sub 4 prime. Well, and let us consider for the third property value of lambda, say this, for which the last polynomial vanishes. Here p sub 4 at this point is 0. In the neighborhood of this point, the signs of this polynomial go from negative to positive. So the derivative of p sub 4 in this point, negative positive, increasing function, the derivative must be positive. Right? The negative or positive polynomial crescente, the first derivative must be positive. We must compare the signs of these polynomials and this polynomial and its derivative. Well, in this point, and we see that here I write from, now that we mark here p3 in lambda sub 2 sub 4 by this point, the value of p in this point is opposite, is negative, and is opposite to the sign of the value of p for first derivative in the same instance. And this happens also for the other three zeros of the last polynomial. So we have checked also the last property. We have not yet seen the usefulness of all these facts. This is shown by this result, which comes in form of theorem, is called Stuhl theorem, which regards the following function that we define now. Let us call it. Let us define W with argument A as the number of sign changes in the ordered set P sub 0 A, P sub 1 A, and so on, P sub N I A. We consider this ordered set of numbers, that is, the numbers resulting from the computations of all the polynomials in an assigned value A, n plus 1 number. Say, for example, p sub 0 is 1, minus 1, 3. Let us suppose again that n is 4, 0, 1, 2, 3, 4. For n equal to 4, this ordered set, maybe this set of numbers. The value of W is the number of sign changes. This is change one, this is another change, this is no change, this is another change of sign. So W for an inside value of A in this case would be 3. So this is an integer function which has finally the property stated by this theorem. If, that's right here, for B larger than A, the difference W in B minus W in A must be non-negative. And it is the number of zeros of the n in the interval A, B. A included, B excluded. The zeros of Pn are just the eigenvalues of A. Why this? It is sufficient to reason in this way, according to this scheme. Proof. We see immediately that the number of changes, variations, the technical name is usually variations, variazioni, numero di variazioni. The number of variations is different from A to B due to the presence of sign changes in some polynomials. If all polynomials would not change sign in the interval A, B, we would have no change in the number of variations. So if this different from zero, difference is different from zero, there must be some change of signs in some polynomials in the sequence. So for continuity, if some polynomials in the sequence change sign, there must be some zeros of these polynomials in the interval. That is the presence of zeros of in the interval which has been considered. Well, so we turn to the properties that we have checked. Since this property involved the zeros of some polynomial in the sequence, two cases. Belonging to the considered interval, P sub I, and this lambda is zero, for I bounded by 1 on the left and minus 1 on the right. Some intermediate polynomial vanishes in this lambda. Let us again represent the behavior in terms of signs of which polynomials? P sub I minus 1, I plus 1. For this lambda, P sub I vanishes. Second property, in the same lambda, previous, say, is negative, then the successive must be positive by the second property. 0, minus, plus, or plus, minus. Let us assume that we are in this situation. For continuity, in a neighborhood of lambda, this polynomial is always negative, and this other polynomial is always positive in a neighborhood. So, passing through this zero, we have on the left let us assume that on the left this is positive and on the right this is negative. It would be the same thing if we revert the sign. The important remark, it is important, it is essential to realize that on the left we have minus plus plus, one change in signs, and on the right we have minus minus plus, again only one change in signs. So the number of variations is left unchanged. The same number of variations from the left to the right, in the sense that we are passing from the left neighbor to the right neighbor of the value of lambda for which this polynomial vanishes. So, even if in the interval there are zeros of intermediate polynomials, they cause no variations in the number, no changes in the number of variations. The only left case, is the case, the second case, that the last polynomial vanishes for some lambda in the interval. Second case, we suppose that Pn in lambda is zero. That is the interesting for us case. Again, let us depict the situation, drawing how many straight lines, again, three, the last polynomial, the previous polynomial, and the derivative of the last polynomial. How we have to reason? This is the lambda for which Pn is zero. Well, let us see its derivative. Suppose that on the left Pn is positive and on the right is negative. The reversal would be substantially the same thing. Remark that it is not possible that this polynomial is positive both on the left and on the right, or negative on the left and on the right. It must change sign because lambda is simple. We use here the remark that we made at the beginning of the lesson of today. If we go from positive to negative, its derivative must be negative, because this polynomial decreases, and it is negative in a neighborhood of this lambda. Let us use the third property of these two segments. The third property says that if Pn vanishes the derivative and the previous polynomial must have opposite signs, minus, plus. Decreasing derivative, negative, minus, previous polynomial, same point, must be positive. Continuity, positive in the neighborhood. Let us check the number of variation before on the left. The number of variation between who? Between the first two, pn and minus one, pn. Zero variations plus plus on the left. One variation on the right. We have gained one change of sign passing through the zero of the last polynomial. So the conclusion, that is the proof of the theorem, the presence of eigenvalues in the considered interval is the only possible presence of eigenvalues in a V is the only possible cause for a change in the number of variations, which we have called W. This number of variations is function, is integer function W. It is clear from the proof of the theorem, is an increasing function. The number of variations or is left unchanged or it increases. If a sequence of polynomials, like in this case, enjoy the property of being a Stumpf sequence, we have a powerful tool for the localization of the eigenvalues. So, 2 for localizing the eigenvalues. For example, you may find a closed interval A sub 0, B sub 0, which containing all the eigenvalues by using a Schrödinger. For instance, you can see that all the Gaussian circles, you find immediately an interval A sub 0, the minimum intersection B sub 0, an interval which contain all the. W sub 0 minus W L 0 must be n, generally, an interval which contains all the eigenvalues. The difference in the number of variations, W must be the maximum, which is n, because the matrix has all real eigenvalues. Then you may restrict the interval, which kind of bisection strategy? You can split half the interval and count, checking this, the variations of W in this subinterval, the number of eigenvalues belonging to the subinterval. So we can conclude that the interval can be refined by using the Sturm theorem until we have found an interval sufficiently small containing only one eigenvalue. Let us suppose that we are interested in an eigenvalue near to some value, near to 1 or near to 0. We can refine the interval by checking a sufficient number of times this difference until we have reached a small interval. Then we can use an iterative method such as the Newton methods to approximate better desired interval. Well, we stop here. Pensavo di farlo oggi anche il divide and conquer, ma si sfora troppo e quindi rimandiamo la prossima volta e vediamo il tempo che ci vuole per finire l'argomento. O si finisce la prossima volta o se non ce la facciamo, come è probabile, si va ancora la volta successiva, che dovrebbe essere il giovedì di Pasqua, che c'è sempre lezione, vero? Sempre, fino al giovedì di Pasqua. Ok, vediamoci qui in ottemperanza alle disposizioni. Come? Per via di qualche altro, cioè è previsto che ci sia un'altra assemblea, ma perfetto, quindi l'ora.